right here, as you look out in front of you, this used to be the old Eva Marine Corps air station. I'm going to tell you, way back when, this was not a great duty station. This was all scrub brush, scorpions, dirt, and you're so far away from Honolulu and Hotel Street. So the Marines that were here, they were given the mission to build the air station, which they did, what Marines always do. With picks and shovels and all the rest of those kind of things, they came out here and they started building. Those young guys that were out here this morning, I'm sure they knew the war was already raging in Europe. So, I mean, it wasn't like they were completely oblivious of bad things that were to happen, but they certainly weren't on that December 7th morning. Guys were cleaning up, getting ready to go on liberty. Those that had duty were getting ready to assume duty, because it's usually 4 to 8, 8 to 12, 12 to 4 is how we do things. Some guys were going to chow. People were just getting ready to do things. And then it started. Apparently, this was a rendezvous point where the Japanese would get in their sticks to go make the attack onto Pearl. This was not a primary target, but a target of opportunity. So they started hitting this first. As other attacking airplanes fanned out to Wheeler, Kaneohe, and of course the large attack at Pearl Harbor. Well, when they started strafing the airfield, everybody was oblivious. What the hell was happening? No one could understand really what was going on. I think the same feeling we could all feel to on 9/11. I mean, 9/11, what the hell is going on here? And I believe that was the same thing they were feeling. Marines were running around. They couldn't find the keys to the armory to get the weapons out. Finally, somebody breaks the lock. They get the weapons out. Guys start running. And of course, the planes were the ones that had the machine guns. So they're placing the machine guns into the planes. Guys are running to get ammo, et cetera, et cetera. And they started to fight back the best they could. One of the Marines, again, this is in history, and it's here on this plaque here. They are credited with shooting down one attacking plane. But as the attack continued, the planes would leave here, attack Pearl Harbor, they'd come back. If they had any extra ammo, they would blurt it out here on this airfield while they were circling, getting ready to go back to their carriers. So it was 2 hours of constant attack going on here. As planes would come in, planes would come back. Of the 49 aircraft that were here, 39 were destroyed. 39. 5 Marines were killed. Sergeant William E. Latchow Jr., Sergeant Carlos A. Macheletto, PFC Edward S. Lawrence, and Bronze Star recipient, 22-year-old William G. Turner, who was wounded and died a few days later. Another 13 Marines were wounded, adding to the terrible cost that went on that day. But from that moment in history, the greatest generation came into being. Now, the greatest generation, we think of it sometimes maybe only like President Bush, who just passed away, or Senator Dole being brought up in his wheelchair, struggling to stand up to salute the Commander-in-Chief one more time. But I'm going to tell you something. That greatest generation was just a little bit older than them young people standing right there. So don't think everybody, the World War II thing was all about, you know, guys our age doing it. It wasn't. We were all young in our heyday. And that was what the greatest generation started as. So as we stand here this morning in this small ceremony, we give thanks for our country and for the freedoms that we have. We also thank God for young people like this who are going to take up the challenge long after we're gone. Long after we're gone. People like that are going to be standing doing these kind of ceremonies. The Honolulu Council of the Navy League, among other people, in the National Park Service, erected this simple monument, along with the headstone listing the name of the four Marines that were killed that day. I'll add this one piece in here. This isn't a ceremony that we were always involved in. Mr. Al Shuhai, who was the former president of Barbers Point Navy League Council, him and the Submariners are the ones that kept this ceremony going for over 25 years. When Mr. Shuhai was starting to get ill, he asked me if I would continue the ceremony when he was gone. I asked Sergeant Major Cece here if he would help me out, and Captain McDermott from the Navy League then, and together we continued the ceremony. So, Al, I hope you're looking down from heaven smiling on us, because we're continuing your legacy and continuing the remembrance here at Barbers Point.